on the Lord's Day. We'll be hearing 3 John verses 2 through 4. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So far, the very words of God. So when he says, beloved, I pray that you, we're a little bit handicapped because we are modern English people and we don't see, beloved, I pray that thou mayest. And so we don't see immediately that it is singular. Although if I'd read verse 1 and we had seen that it was Gaius who is being addressed, we might have expected that. John is writing to his dear friend. He calls him beloved in verse 1, beloved in verse 2, beloved in verse 3. And what do we do for our dear Christian friends? Well, lots of things, but one thing we do is pray for them, don't we? John, as he's writing, has just received this report about Gaius. He talks about in verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. We love one another truly in Christ. The most important thing, number one, gladdening thing, as he says in the next verse, in verse 4, I have no greater joy. The most important thing is that we would hear that they are walking in the truth. John refers to Gaius here and others as his spiritual children. And he does so because that's true by analogy. You dear children of Christian parents, the thing that a believing mom or dad cares most about is that you would be walking in the truth. You have no greater joy than to know that you know Christ and you're believing his word and you're convinced of that word and you're walking according to that word. Well, John says the same is true about those who are his spiritual children. And I can testify that as far as my new nature created in Christ, that's true of me too. Those whom the Lord has privileged me to minister his gospel to, that the greatest joy concerning you all is to see you walking in the truth. And I'm grateful to God that I could give this testimony of many of you. And we see that we ought to give that testimony of one another. Verse 3, I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. If we know that Christian love for one another means that what we want most of all is that we would one another be walking in the truth, that's what I want to hear about my brother, that's what I'm praying for my sister, then we ought to want to give that pleasure to one another. It's like inverted gossip, right? Rather than indulging the flesh and having juicy bits about others that make them look ugly so that I can look a little better by comparison, or maybe join in some kind of psycho-emotional alliance with someone against someone else. Now, the Christian does the opposite out of love. He can't wait to tell his brother or sister about how the other brother or sister is walking in the truth, because he knows that brother or sister loves the brother or sister he's going to tell on, and that will give them great joy. Well, we not only delight to hear about and pray for one another's souls, because we are whole people, body and soul. We're not disembodied spirits. And so we're to think of one another and pray for one another as whole people. The priority upon the soul here that the apostle shows in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth, and that is what he describes at the end of verse 2 as Gaius's soul prospering or accomplishing or doing well, succeeding. He's not using the word prosper there in the way we often use the word prosper in terms of faring well, but in terms of doing well and accomplishing. The Apostle Paul at one point uses this word to describe, if I am able at last to come to you, if I prosper at last to come to you, he says at one point. So he's heard about Gaius's soul, and he responds by praying that he would do well in all things and be in health. The idea here may be that he's heard that something is going on with Gaius's health. Perhaps something is amiss. Sometimes our souls prosper and our bodily ailments are a trial to us, not so much for the pain or for the discomfort as for types of service that aren't open to us because of an illness or an injury. And we can be content in the Lord's providence, but we can also desire and pray for one another that by the Lord granting to us a measure of health, we're able to prosper in all things. And so this is both a prayer for the comfort and restoration, physical restoration and maintenance of his brother Gaius, and perhaps also the way that the thing that everything is connected in verse 2, a desire that as Gaius is doing well spiritually, that the Lord would either use that to improve his health or use his health to improve his service. And both happen, don't they? Often somebody who has not been doing well physically, the Lord grows them spiritually. And he actually, the soul has an effect upon the body. And sometimes, even as we learned in James chapter 5, the affliction, the physical affliction, was sent to bring us to repentance so that we could be restored to doing well spiritually. And so John is praying that Gaius's health would be good and that his doing well in soul would be extended to his doing well in everything. And that helps us now to think about how to pray for one another's health. We know to pray for one another's souls. And as you start to seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, sometimes we can wonder if it's too earthly a thing to pray for the organ recital, as it were. I was counseled once, and you can see I've taken the advice to heart, don't have prayer request time at the prayer meeting, because you'll have a prayer request meeting with a prayer conclusion. And the fellow who said that said, if you want an organ recital, Aunt Matilda's liver and Uncle Larry's kidney and do the prayer request. And we can wonder, is it too earthly a thing? And no, it's not. Because God teaches us to pray for our daily bread. God teaches us to make in all things to make our requests known unto him. And he teaches us about the connection between the body and soul, and he gives us apostolic example here. Not just that we may pray for one another's health, but how to relate that. The soul prospering, most important. The body prospering, not unrelated. Opportunity for service as one of the goals as we pray for a brother or sister, in addition to their comfort and well-being. And we know, of course, that it is always God's plan to heal the brother or sister that we pray for, isn't it? How do we know that? Because they are going to rise from the dead. Right? Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. The faith-healing people don't promise too much. They promise utterly, pathetically too little. They want a temporary repair done on this chunk of worm food that has to be translated to be shaped, made like unto the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we could pray for one another's health with confidence, knowing that as soon as far as it benefits their soul and their service, God will give them health now, and he will absolutely give every brother or sister that you ever pray for their health perfect health forever. Just that we'd not be so short-sighted like the guy doing $5,000 repairs on his $200 jalopy. That's what the faith healers promise, and they can't even deliver that. So let us follow the apostle here in our praying, and let us be those who pray for one another, first and foremost soul, but also for one another bodily as well.